I want to ask you just to listen. Listen to what Jesus said. Many times we open the Bible, we pull out our dictionaries, we diagram sentences, we read what others have said. But these words were meant to be heard, not read. So envision that you are with your family, you're sitting on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is teaching. Just listen to what the Lord says. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up and increased. They were yielding a crop and were producing 30, 60, and 100-fold. The Bible tells us that Jesus taught us many things through parables. That was just one that we listened to, that we read. A parable is an earthly story that has a corresponding heavenly meaning. And depending on how you read through the Gospels, Jesus told about 60 parables that are contained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He chose to teach us in this way because, once again, we hear, we visualize. It has everything to do with maintaining spirituality. That's what we've been talking about in these days. And the question is simply this for today. Why is it so hard to stay spiritually focused? You know, the two greatest days on the Christian calendar would be Christmas and Easter. But on those days when we should be able to focus, many of us lose our focus because of other things. Because of holiday stress, perhaps, or because of an Easter bunny and all that goes along with that. Not condemning those things. But it's hard enough on the days when we're expected to stay focused to do just that. Well, then, just think about everyday life. I mean, if it's hard to stay focused on the days when everything, it seems the whole world is geared toward what we should do, then on a day-to-day, day in and day out, weekday, Monday through Friday, work week, whatever it is, it's very hard to stay spiritually focused. So what Jesus does in a parable is he tells us in a story that we can easily remember and relate to just how we are to stay focused on him. Many times Jesus does not explain these parables. He just says them. Matter of fact, most of them, that's exactly what he does. He tells a story. Sometimes they're very brief, sometimes they're longer, like this one. And many times he tells them and then he walks away and does something else entirely. But on this one, within this one, thank goodness, he goes into detail. And whereas sometimes it's dangerous to take one thing in Scripture and symbolize it in another thing in real life all the way through a story, when Jesus does it, it's okay. And when Jesus does it with this parable, it helps us understand how you and I can be spiritually focused day in and day out. After Jesus told this story that I just read, he then, in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, explains it line by line. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" And then here he goes. The sower sows the word. So now we have a base of operations here. We have a point of reference that when Jesus just told this story full blown in the previous verses, He then comes back and underscores, and he begins to explain exactly what he's talking about. And he does this so that we can understand, so that we can stay focused, so that we can be in the moment with God day in and day out. The sower, the farmer, sows seed. And Jesus tells us the seed is the word of God. You can take that any number of ways. It could be that you're simply giving a request for prayer. Maybe that's the seed that you're sowing. Maybe it's a full-blown testimony of what Christ has done in your life. Basically, I've always seen it that the word is simply the will of God, the story of Jesus. It's the information that we're given. It's the seed that is thrown out, that is scattered around all over the place to grow, for us to accept or to reject. Jesus identifies four places where the seed, where the word of God is scattered, where it is given, where it is planted. Let's go through them quickly. He says, the sower sows the word. Verse 15, these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word with which has been sown in them. Now, back before in the story, he said some of the seed fell on hard ground, and the birds came and ate it up. But in his explanation, he tells us the word is given to people who were receiving it just as though you'd thrown seed on cement, on concrete. It goes in one ear and out the other. And he says the work of the evil one, the work of Satan, is involved in those who reject the word that is given to them. It's sad, but it's true that many times when God's word is given to those who need it most, they resist it completely. And it's because of the work of the evil one. Where is your heart today? If you were to describe how you receive or have not received God's word in your life, I'm talking about faith in Christ, yes, but I'm talking about as a believer also following the Lord and doing his will. There are those, when the word is given, do nothing with it. Then he mentions a second place where the seed is sown. He says in verse 16, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they heard the word, immediately receive it with joy. But they have no firm root within themselves, but they are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. In the story that he told just a few verses up before he explained it, he talked about some seed falling on ground that was shallow. The seed was able to germinate. It was able to grow quickly. But then it withered. It faded because it had no root. Sad to say, that there are some of us that when God's will, when God's word is presented to us, we receive it gladly. But when the affliction or persecution arises because of the word of God, we fade. You know, in the stock market, there are two kinds of folks who play the stocks, so I'm told. There are those who are traders, and there are those who are investors. The trader is there for a split second sometime. They're there just to shave some profit off of what's going on in the market. Whereas an investor does not view what he or she does in the market as being a split second decision, but they're in it for the long haul. They're doing what they do. They invest in the stocks that they invest in because of the reputation of the company. And they understand that the dividends may not be paid immediately, but they will someday. The trader is in and out. Jesus says that when the word comes to some people, it's almost as though they're traders. They're in it for the quick sell. They're in it when they need something. And they're looking and they're cruising and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And if things are going well, they may stay in it. In other words, if it isn't going well, they hedge their choice, their bet, and they pull out. Where is your heart when it comes to such things? Knowing full well that Jesus says here that when affliction and persecution come because of the very commitment that you've made to Jesus, what happens to your faith? He mentions a third place where the seed is sown. He said, others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Where is your heart today? Remember, we said, how can we stay spiritually focused in the world in which we live? It's hard enough on the days when it's expected of us, when it should be the easiest to be focused. And yet we find that from the parable that Jesus tells us and his explanation of that parable, that there are many of us who are giving a first allegiance to those things that should be secondary. He calls them out. Worries of the world, deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things. You know, we talk about priorities. We talk about, you know, my team is number one, and I'm number one, or I'm going to support that which is number one. And we translate that to spiritual language. We talk about how God is first and God is number one. You and I need to remember, all you got to do is go back to the very beginning when God set up his requirements for us in the law, which Jesus fulfilled. Did he ever say he wanted to be first? No. When something is first and something is second and something is fifth and something is whatever, God never said, I want to be first in your life. Now, I understand, you understand what we mean when we say God is number one, or my priority to church is number one on my list. But when it comes right down to it, God does not want it, has no business, has no interest in being number one. He wants to be the priority in our lives. And how often do we let the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of going after the money or whatever it is, the desires for other things, how often does that come in and choke out the word in our lives? You know, folks, in those three examples that Jesus gave, whether it's that your heart is like concrete, God's word just bounces off with no thought of hearing it, whether you're in that situation in life where you make a quick commitment and you understand what it means, but there's no firm rooting, you have no place to plant your life, or whether it's like the thorns that are always there. When we face those situations, many times we're tempted to do some of the most bizarre, ridiculous, worthless things ever. In 1993, Armenia, former Soviet Republic, was in a war with a neighboring Soviet bloc country. And they were suffering because their next door neighbor, I can't even pronounce the name of the country, so I'm not going to try. But they used a fuel embargo against that country. They cut off gasoline. They cut off fuel. And so they were forced to literally cut down trees to heat their homes. And they did this for three successive winters. until they could take no more. And when they realized that they were facing a fourth winter where perhaps their economy would not only tank, but their people would literally freeze to death, that the government chose to open a rusty, old, dilapidated, dangerous nuclear reactor. It had none of the safeguards that nuclear reactors have or should have. Firing it up was almost a death sentence if anything were to go wrong. But that's what they did. They saw no other option. They saw no other out. And when we find ourselves lacking in commitment, when we find ourselves up against the wall, when we find ourselves in the midst of circumstances that are literally destroying us, we resort to some of the most ridiculous, immoral, sinful, dangerous behavior. Where's your heart? And of course, there's the fourth place where seed is sown. He says, there are those on whom the seed was sown on good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, they bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. So out of those four places where God's word is spread, where God's word is given an opportunity to take hold in someone's life, three out of the four end up failures. But God's word, when it's received, not that we're perfect, when it's received and when we obey, when we cultivate our lives, it makes all the difference in the world. Now, if we're using the analogy that Jesus used in this parable, and we should, our heart is a garden. Our lives are a garden. And the question is, how do we put ourselves in a position? How can we help ourselves to grow? How can we arrange things in life? How can we be the one that the seed is sown in good soil? I mean, what is it that makes the difference? If it's your heart, if it's the way you act, if it's your family, if it's everything you are, if it's that important, and it is, if your heart is a garden, what can we do to put ourselves in a position to grow? Well, we're going to need right nutrients, correct? Right nutrients. Now, if I'm taking Jesus' cue and bringing this to bear upon the spiritual end of things, it means the right nutrients would be good teaching, would be Bible study. How many times do you pick up a Bible to thoughtfully read? How often do you receive teaching that encourages you? We need those things. You got to pick and choose. You don't want to just hear it from anybody. You don't want to take what I say for granted. I hope you don't. I hope you judge it against what God's word says. But we need those right nutrients. We also need good sunlight. Good sunlight. If your heart is a garden, if you're trying to grow anything, there's got to be those times of sun, which if we take it and translate it into what Jesus is trying to tell us, the heavenly meaning would be sunlight is a perfect way to describe accountability. You can't do this on your own. You can't be a secret disciple. You can't resist temptation. You can a little bit. But over the long haul, if you don't have those who are supporting you, who love you, who care for you, who are going through some of the same things you are, or who pray for you, we need that good sunlight. And then we need the right rhythms, the ebb and flow of the seasons that cause things to grow, to be fruitful. We need those in our lives as well. And what would they be? Times of quiet, times of worship, times of relationship, times when you're busy, you need it, times when you rest, you need it, times of fun. You know, the Christian life is supposed to be fun. But how many times do we picture spirituality as being a drudgery? We talk about, and I know as Baptists, we're always accused of being the people who can't do this and can't do that. We need to have fun. We need all of these things on that list that you see on the screen. These are part of the right nutrients. It's part of accountability and sunlight. It's part of the rhythms of how we live our lives. We've got to keep these in balance, or the results can be tragic. How do we stay spiritually focused? C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Great Divorce, in the title of that book, The Great Divorce, is actually describing the difference between heaven and hell. And this quote, it's good. It says, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says in the end, thy will be done. You see, spirituality is a choice. It's a decision. It's the most important choice you will ever make. And life is too short. The choices are too crucial to be unfocused, to take it as it comes, but to allow God's word, when given to us as it is, we choose. We choose Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here, call upon your name, to hear your word. Thank you for parables, for stories that clarify important teachings that otherwise might go over our heads, but you say it in such a way that it rings true. Speak to us. Help us make the choices that reflect our love for you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We offer an invitation this morning, an opportunity for choices to be made. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sin, if taking that seed of God's word, making it your own, choosing life, we invite you to make that choice, to step out, to come forward, to let us pray for you. If it's a matter of confusion, you need clarification, that's why we're here. We can't make this choice for you, but we can certainly guide and pray. So step forward, step out, and make that choice. If you're here today and you know the Lord, just hadn't told anyone, tell us. Follow Him in believers' baptism. Let's find out what that means, why it's important. If you need a church to call your own, a place to grow, here we are. God's word is being sown throughout our congregation each and every day. Join us in that journey. How do you join our church? You step out, come forward. That's the beginning. And then for many of us, it may be that an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning reveals a heart that needs a lot of work. Can't do it on your own. Ask God to strengthen. Ask God to lead, and He always will. That's our invitation. I ask you to stand with us as we sing, we wait here. You step out as God leads.